Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the program. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'm joined by two very great panelists from the LA region. We have the infamous John Perry, a man not to be trifled with. John, it's wonderful to talk to you again.
Simon says, glad to be back with you. I missed you like an occupier misses a day job.
And from Youngstown, Ohio, the center of the universe, we have author, activist, and more importantly, barkeep, Sam Moffey.
Well, I'm here. Thank you for having me on, John. It's a pleasure to hear your voice. It's been a long time.
Hey, you too, Sammy. I just want to make sure talking to me doesn't violate your probation, does it?
No, I'm off double secret probation officially.
Because coming from Cleveland, I think one of the terms that you can't associate with any Republicans.
I'm not a Republican. I'm a libertarian.
I'm a Republican.
You're the Republican. That's okay. From Northeast Ohio, there are five, I think, left. Four of them are one foot in the grave, as they say, and the other one is wanted for trying to downsize the size of government.
I just don't want your probation officer getting on you.
John is a great guy. I'm not sure, you know, if I want him as a friend.
Actually, Simon, my best friend said the other day to me, with friends like you, I don't need friends.
Right.
John is back and in rare form.
Right. And what I was hoping to do today was have a pretty wide-ranging program. But there's all sorts of things I would love to hear your input on. And even though the story is being beaten to death in the popular press, I'm going to start with Boston. Yeah, are we spending too much time dwelling on the two brothers and not enough time on the victims? Hell, I don't even remember anyone announcing who won the stinking marathon. I'll start with you, John.
Oh, Simon, that's an interesting question. I don't know either, but then again, I remember in the 72 Olympics when the 11 Israelis were murdered, kind of lost interest in the results of that, the Olympic Games. So I think it's understandable why that's the case. The winners and losers are pretty much irrelevant when something like this happens, don't you think?
Well, I agree with you that the biggest story, yeah, it is the fact that, you know, four people are dead, bunch of people have lost, limbs. But, potentially, this was the one chance that the winner, you know, could get some fame and recognition. And no one's talking about that.
Right, I think rightfully so. I mean, it's ironic to go back 40 years, but I think one of the Black September terrorists is still alive somewhere in the Middle East. But anyway, I'll say this, Simon, I don't really expend a whole lot of emotional capital on Obama Nation because I don't believe anything coming out of the administration. So, I mean, my heart goes out to the victims, of course, but I don't think the truth will come out unless it benefits Obama politically.
Okay, Sam. Same question to you. And what would you say?
I am getting so sick of this mainstream media at all levels, focusing on two things. One, the murderers, maimers, and their family ad nauseum. What's going to be the next thing I'm going to hear? The crazy family and whatnot. And then the other subplot after that is Fox blames, no offense, John, Fox blames Obama, MSNBC blames Bush. I actually had Thursday night watched it with my wife. Lawrence O'Donnell, is that his name? He's on the prime time with MSNBC. He blamed George Bush for the Boston bombing. I mean, I'm just like, what? I mean, what is going on with this? You know, then CNN was appeasing both sides. Yeah, then CNN appeases both sides. And I said, that's what we've got in this country now. Propaganda from the left, propaganda from the right, and then a propaganda from the middle that wants both sides to watch their shows and buy their and visit their sponsors. Being terrible, disgusting, whatnot. But when the real issue that's being left out is how did a bunch of family members on welfare live in Cambridge, Massachusetts, very expensive place to live, have an SUV, travel back and forth to Russia. He belonged to a boxing gym, an exclusive boxing gym. What other brother went to college. They bought weapons. All sorts of these questions have not been answered. Where did they come up with the dough? Now, you can't tell me yet you can make enough money on welfare to do all these things. I don't believe that. I believe that there's either two schools of thought here, in my opinion. Number one, they were totally funded by a terrorist group of that we don't know at this point. Or what I believe is, and that's why the FBI bungled it, and that's why the CIA even bungled it more, because they're supposed to watch the FBI, is I believe the older brother was recruited as a double agent to infiltrate a terrorist cell and flipped. And that's where the money comes from. And that's why, John, the Obama administration would rather spend more time writing jokes, letting him go to the journalist thing last night and crack jokes, blah, 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 do all this stuff, because they don't want just like they let us down on Benghazi, they have let us down on Boston.
Sam, you don't think student loans could have supported his activities?
The what?
Student loans.
I don't know if he did get any.
I haven't heard either, but odds are he did. That's how he got his money. Probably student loans.
I don't know. I do know that they were all on welfare. I do know that the mother stole $1,600 worth of clothes from Lord and Taylor, crashed a police car or a cruise or something, and is in Russia. And that's why she can't come back here because I'm thinking, how did she get away in the
part of the foreign exchange student program?
Yeah. I don't know, they were already here.
Your passion in your own country, come here and we'll subsidize you. His just happened to be building bombs and blowing up the populace.
Well, I think he's been here, John, he's been here for a while, looking like he's on a visa.
Well, he also has returned to Russia, where if he's a political refugee, why would they take him back? I don't understand.
No one knows that. I really believe, and I don't blame Barack Obama for this at all. You know, there's been an intelligence letdown, but I think we as a country said, we're safe. You know, nothing's happened. You know, we're safe.
Hold on here a moment, Sam. All right? Yeah, everything is fine. No, everything isn't fine. You know, four people are dead. There's a bunch of people that are missing limbs. No, everything isn't fine.
But I didn't say it was fine. I said, people said up into Boston, people have been complacent. We have we've let our foot off the pedal on Iraq. We pulled out of Iraq. We're pulling out of Afghanistan.
I mean,
bought
the narrative that because Bin Laden was dead, Al-Qaeda was on its heels.
Right. Bin Laden was dead, and Al-Qaeda was on the run. I agree with you. That's been drumbeated around. Let's see, what else has happened?
But you didn't believe that, did you?
No, I did not. I believe I think the terrorists finally wised up and said, you know what, we can't beat these guys. We can't talk on the cell phone to each other anymore. We can't do laptops. We can't do satellite links. We have to reinvent our way of fighting the West, and they have. And now we've seen it. Now we've seen it, and now we're going to have to outsmart them again. You know, John, and we talked about this a week ago with Peter, that 19-year-old kid, in a fetal position, wounded, lying in a boat, shut down a city of 2 million people and had 10,000 law enforcement people looking for him. I think that's pathetic. And that it took that much firepower, that much manpower, womanpower, whatnot, to locate a guy. And they lied again. They said he was in a shootout with them. I mean, the truth came out this week. He didn't have a gun on him. There's too many questions on a case like this. The American people, with all our intelligence, quote unquote, I'm not talking about collectively, I'm talking about the CIA, the FBI, the DEA, Boston Police, State Highway Patrol, you name it, they were there, military intelligence, drones, the president, the National Security Council, and we still can't get the truth. Why don't they want to tell the truth? Is it because, as Jack Nicholson said in A Few Good Men, we can't handle the truth? Is that what it comes down to?
Sam, I heard your commentary, and I have to agree. I will say I think every agency but the Boy Scouts and the Brownies were there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I like what Sam is saying. Well, I don't like it. It shouldn't be so, but it is so. You know, 9,000 law enforcement people looking for one guy hiding out in a boat.
And it still took a citizen to call it in.
Right, exactly. Good point, John. Good point.
You would think with all these heat-seeking techniques they have and helicopters, they would have discovered them, but they didn't.
Right. But, you know, I seem to recall reading an article, a couple of articles, in fact, many articles, that the older one, the one that got shot, I won't even try to pronounce his name, I had gone to Russia, and
that was an
Russia,
easy one, Tamerlane.
Right, okay, and, you know, The Russian equivalent of the FBI had said, "Hey, I think we have problem child on our hands."
And his mother, apparently.
Right. Yeah, and they've done nothing about it. That, you know, at the time that they said, "Oh, we'll open a file."
Right.
But, you know, what went wrong?
Well, Simon, having many friends who are detectives, I can tell you, I think the official line was, we investigated them thoroughly, exhausted all leads, there's no further workable. That's a euphemism for round file, the information.
Right. But
do you think it's possible he could have been a double agent, guys?
I don't think so. I'm talking
about
no.
My thing is, where's the money come from? Because if you track, it had to be coming from
loans,
the FBI.
Sam, let's wait and see.
No, it didn't come from student loans. Because the truth, you only get so much money for student loans, they didn't have enough money to do that, John. Because the older brother wasn't going. And the younger brother only started school for 1 year. There's no way they could afford 50 grand. I'm telling you, the money comes from local law enforcement. I mean, the FBI hired this guy, in my opinion, to be, and they fed him money. And that's why the mother and aunt are crazy. But not crazy. But they've come up with a thing because the sons allegedly said the money was coming from the FBI. And that's why the FBI has been in a CYA mode. That's why they ignored the Russian equivalent of the FBI. And because they wanted this guy to be their infiltrator. I'm sure that's
really
the way they fight
this kid on that long of a lease, Sam?
It took him a long time to find him. There's so many.
Why would they have to put out his picture if they knew who he was before?
They didn't know that he would flip. Not all double agents flip. They still had to do it. What if it wasn't?
All they had to do was check the database for people they'd interviewed in the area, terrorists, and they would have seen his picture, right? much less if he was on the payroll.
Well,
he wouldn't have
people,
brought his
picture. The first person who saw the pictures, is my understanding. Well, first of all, I don't believe anything that's coming out. And that's
pathetic. If you think they're that incompetent, that's really something.
I think they are. I don't think they're incompetent, John. I think the philosophy is let's infiltrate these groups, and they infiltrated them with. They can't infiltrate
Sam,
them with.
Okay, think about it. If one of your agents committed this act of terror, would you put out his picture nationally or just go arrest him quietly?
He's not an agent. He was an undercover informant. Big difference.
Okay, informant. If he's on the payroll, would you broadcast his picture or just go quietly arrest him and not let him be interviewed?
They didn't know where he was. They had to. They didn't know that he flipped. How did they know that he flipped until they saw them?
The kid apparently was going to the gym, and his brother was going to school, and they weren't trying to conceal their identity at all.
Exactly, John. You just answered your own question. Why did they go back to the scene? Why did they go back to the lights as usual? Because they didn't think they were going to get caught because they were double agents.
They're not sophisticated.
No, they didn't think they were going to get caught because they had protection from the feds, the FBI.
That's hard to believe, but all right.
Okay, Sam. You know, I like a good story, but you know what you're saying is, you know, don't make no sense.
He's saying they can blow people up with impunity because they're protected by the FBI.
No, I didn't say that the FBI is covered. No. You're missing my point. First of all, they have no money. Okay, they have no money to live the lifestyle they did.
We don't know. But go ahead.
They have no lifestyle. They're all on welfare.
They live very high up.
Come on. What, could they come to kids smoking pot? Give me the first kid smoking pot in school? Give me a break.
He was selling weed.
They all sell weed in college. Come on, John. Everybody partakes in not everybody. The majority of college students at one point take part or know about a drug transaction taking place in their own dorm.
You've been listening to Manny and Simon too long.
No. Wait a minute. Let's take this one step further. They allow the mother to leave the country with a warrant on a warrant. They allow the son who beat up his wife and with domestic violence, who's not in this country legally. The other brother is. He's not. He doesn't get arrested and deported because they are under. The older brother was an informant. And who happened to, they didn't think was going to flip. They allowed him to go to Russia. They ignore what the Russians are telling them. Not only they do, they strayed on the CIA away from it. It reeks of a cover-up, and it reeks of incompetence. And just because the FBI doesn't mean they do everything right. I'm sorry. Just because someone has a badge on doesn't mean they do everything right and that they're honest and kosher. Should we talk about the Woodson? I'll call up Frank Serpico. I think he'll verify that with me.
Sam, I'm not going to impugn their motives. Bureaucracies tend to be incompetent. That's what it is.
If it's incompetent, it's also, if you're incompetent, then you got to take it one step further.
How the mother
you got to say, did they blow this and cover it? Because what's the way to fight terrorism? You have to try to, especially in our country, they've got to find undercover agents or undercover informants. Just like this Joe Pistone, who went after the mafia. They've done it for years. They did it with the Red Scare in the 50s. They did it during the SDS times in the 60s. They infiltrated the weathermen. Hell, there were more law enforcement people causing the 1968 Chicago riots in the Democratic National Convention than there were actual hippies and yippies and SDS members. That's a fact. I wrote my college thesis on it. It's true. In the unclassified documents, there were more. Oh, wait a minute. You don't believe that the CIA gave LSD to unsuspecting soldiers to see how they reacted on it?
No, but I remember Tom Hayden, Abby Hoffman, Dave Dellinger, Bobby Seale, Renee Davis. Maybe you should look them up. They were responsible for that riot.
They were not responsible. There were also more undercover law enforcement people there who were taking part with them and trying to make them look bad than there were just as many people doing
it. When did you become such a conspiracy nut?
I've always, when it comes, because I don't trust my government, John. I don't trust law enforcement.
I am too,
especially.
But to think they're going to employ a 26 and 19-year-old kid and give him free rein without any oversight.
They didn't give the... They didn't give the 19. I think he was not involved in with the brother. He's a tag along. The brother, the older brother, is the key focus here, but he's dead.
Okay, and they wouldn't even monitor their phones to see that they've been in contact with. Say,
of course they did. John, if you're an informant, you know this. You go back and you tell the you meet Deep Throat in the Boston Underground Garage. I said, wait a minute, John. Let's talk about the Boston FBI. You ever heard of Whitey Bulger? Did you ever hear about
him? No,
they were given. Yeah, okay. Who was his? Who helped him survive for 25 years? The Boston FBI. The Boston FBI is one of the most corrupt FBI outfits for years, and I'm from Boston, and we were told that for years. Everyone knows that the Boston FBI helped the Irish mobsters stay out of the limelight. Whitey Bulger, for 25 years, killed 30, 40 people, did all sorts of stuff, and the FBI was doing its thing, helping him, giving him information, and he was giving them information. It was a win-win situation, just like it is with the war on terror right now. Don't kid yourself. I'm not saying every one of them is corrupt. I'm not saying that every informant, but you have to take it. When you take some of these jihadists and you, as an informant, not an FBI agent, and you infiltrate a group, there is a chance that person's going to get brainwashed, you know, and vice versa. Why you hired that person to infiltrate to destroy that cell, isn't there a chance that person could slip? Of course there is. I think that's what happened here, and you controlled his older brother. That's all.
Hey, whatever medication you're taking, I want some.
Right.
You just don't want to believe. John, you just don't want to believe. You want that's the way it is.
Because it makes no sense.
Yes.
Look at it logically.
What do you mean it makes no sense? It makes perfect sense. Sometimes you have to look outside the box. I hate to use that as a cliche, but you have to. Why are there so many questions here? It shouldn't be. There are more questions about this this horrific act than there are about 911.
Hey, Sam, these are young kids, inexperienced, way of the world.
Oh, come on. Inexperienced.
Not ideal.
Bullshit that they're not experienced. Someone showed them how to buy a bomb, how to make a bomb, and they were so
cocky. If you want to infiltrate groups, I don't think you'd be using those two jamokes.
They didn't use the 19-year-old. They used the 26-year-old. The 19-year-old just was an idol worshiper.
And then to give them free reign without any department oversight, I just can't believe it. That they wouldn't.
They didn't give him free reign. They had department oversight.
Why wouldn't they be tracking his phone calls to see who he's calling?
How come they haven't been?
That's my point. Wouldn't they be if he was working with them?
Because they wouldn't have to track his phone calls.
Call him,
they
call these guys, give him a prepaid phone. I mean, come on.
No, they would not give him a phone. They don't want that. The new terrorism doesn't react that way.
I just got to believe they would be controlling the kids and not completely oblivious to them. It's like they didn't even know he lived in the area.
Not if he's giving them information. Not if he's giving them information, John.
Right. Well, we could argue over it. We disagree on that one. Simon, where do you stand?
I was just really enjoying the pair of you. And you're having this wonderful argument.
Wait a minute. Excuse me, Simon. And, John, you believe, like Mayor Bloomberg, that they were going to jump into that kidnapped, carjacked Mercedes-Benz and drive like a bat out of hell all the way to New York City and blow up New York City? Because they would get away with that, right? You believe that bullshit,
too? I'm hopefully there, Sam, but it's speculation. I don't put much effort into it.
Yeah. I mean, well, they had huge press conference. The FBI said that's what they were going to do. The FBI.
They're building themselves up. I mean,
You think the FBI is up on Zimbalist Jr., and it isn't.
No, I think
the FBI, the organization that went after Charlie Chaplin with more firepower than it went after the United States, went after the La Costa Nostra. Yeah, there's an organization I have a lot of faith in. Excuse me, remember your history.
No, you're just believing the slander and propaganda against J. Edgar.
I don't have to believe it. I know about it.
Mm-hmm.
J. Edgar Hoover wasn't a cross-dresser either.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's ridiculous to even discuss that. Who cares?
J. Edgar Hoover, okay. You know, the mafia doesn't exist.
He served his country 49 years in the position. He's been dead 40. Let him rest in peace.
No way. This guy ruined more people's lives than he saved.
Before
his blacks
are addressed, let him rest in peace.
Yeah, that's the guy. That's the organization that you want me to put faith in, led by a guy who's probably one of the most, the biggest freaks and creeps of all time. And unfortunately, we gave him a badge. Yeah, I have faith in them. I have faith in them. Yeah, sure.
Unbelievable. 50 years of loyal service.
Yeah, 50 years of service. Yeah, 50 years. What happened to Melvin? The guy was so jealous of Melvin Purvis, because Melvin Purvis actually made the arrest. He had a stage one, and he botched that one up.
Okay. I'm going to break in. You know, even though I'm truly, truly enjoying this argument. The whack job mother, she's claiming that it's all staged, and the blood on the road, that was paint.
That's what Sam's saying.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
You said the FBI was involved.
I said the FBI hired. Recruited the older brother, and he was a double agent.
That's what she's saying, Sammy.
No, I don't believe the blood was. I don't believe that was paint. I don't believe it was staged. I believe it was a. It was a, the guy flipped and he carried it out, and they thought they wouldn't get caught.
I do agree with you on that. She's saying that their kids were kind of recruited into this by the FBI, which is what he was.
The older brother was not the younger brother was a hero worshiper of his older brother. He was not part of the why. The older brother was in Russia doing God knows what. The younger brother was here in America raking leaves and shoveling snow. For all I know, at that time he's 7 years younger than him. He's 19 years of age, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that right? And he was in Russia 3-4 years ago. The older brother was in Russia 6 years ago, I think. So that would make the younger brother 13.
I think he was just in there a couple of years ago.
He was in there twice. He was there twice. But no, I don't. No, and I, you know, I just think there's just too much to this story. You know, so the other thing that makes no sense, as a father, if my children perpetrated some crime like this, I would not be going on the news. We wouldn't be doing anything of this nature. It makes no sense unless they felt there was some sort of, I don't know what the answer is, but for parents to be blatantly getting their 15 minutes of fame daily from this tragedy is very strange. You would think they'd be underground and not want anybody to know what they look like, where they live, what they think, what they eat, what they do.
Ah, you bring up an interesting point. Wife of the older one, the dead one, is definitely not making appearances on TV. It's not even clear to me that the authorities have even talked to her, right? That they seem to be working through her attorney. And, yeah, this gives me pause for thought. You know, why the hell not, you know, just arrest her? You know, yeah, sure, she may not be part of the actual attack, but she's got information. Yeah, so why play this game? Uh-oh.
Go ahead, John.
Well, I'm thinking, Simon, I would hope they're conducting a thorough investigation, and I wouldn't make my strategy public. So whatever they say publicly, I think it's just hopefully for her benefit, and behind the scenes, they're finding dirt on her. But obviously she's involved. But if you let her know that, then people aren't going to contact her. They're probably not now, but you see what I'm saying. You don't want to alert someone that you're scrutinizing them.
Right. Here's the other question. That there was a lot of discussion about the younger brother and the fact that, you know, that they didn't immediately read him his Miranda rights. And unfortunately, we don't have Peter Haven with us.
It depends on your perspective.
All right. Now, you know, Miranda is a tricky issue. And, you know, there is this window of opportunity, shall we say, where you can ask people questions, particularly when, you know, the situation is something like this. You don't have to tell them they can shut up. You know,
right? Right.
If there are, the potential of other bombs. Now they have read him his Miranda rights. I mean, should they have even done that? You know, isn't he part of a terrorist attack? Shouldn't he be, you know, labeled
I agree completely, and the, any information that they gleaned if from not Mirandizing them may not be used against them possibly, but they already have enough evidence to convict them. I would you got to try to determine if he is part of a greater plot, a conspiracy. And if they have more attacks planned, that to me should supersede his rights and a possible conviction, which I don't think would ever become a problem.
Right. I'm with you on this.
Yeah, you got public safety is tantamount. But
right.
Apparently Eric Holder doesn't see it that way. So
we're just going to put him into the regular system, and who knows what.
Well, I find it ironic.
I applaud the fact he wasn't labeled an enemy combatant, was written his Miranda rights, and he's going to put on trial for everyone to see. Everyone's entitled to due process, even the schmucks of the world. That's what makes the Constitution great, due process of law. So I think that's what makes us a civilized society. That's what makes us a better society than ever. And we've not been practicing that enough at a local level, at a state level, and at a national and international level. And I think we need to get back to that. Look, we put the Nazis on trial. The Jews put Adolf Eichmann on trial. Everyone deserves due process of law, where there's no difference between us and the terrorists. And I think that I look forward to a fair trial. He'll be given everything he can do. As you said, he's probably guilty as hell, and he'll be hung by the neck till dead. A life imprisonment, what I've done, I hope. I personally wish he would have went down in bullets so he wouldn't have to spend money for a trial. But now we have to have the trial.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's the way it's going to be. And, you know, and Simon, you started this show out great. I want to see the major media start spending time on the victims, how to help these victims, especially the ones who lost limbs. You see bits and pieces, a little bit here, a little bit there, and they go all back. If I see that crazy uncle on TV again, I don't know what I'm going to say. This guy, that's getting more attention than these victims.
Right, and that's kind of what bothers me. We have a terrible situation. And everyone focuses on these two nut jobs, and no one focuses on the victims or the people that helped, the first responders, as we like to call them. they're the people that, you know, the story should be about. And I don't really much care, you know, to hear much more about the brothers. Yeah, they, sure, you know, they did this horrible thing. Let's forget them. Yeah, and let's move on, and let's talk about the real people. Are you with me on that one, Sam?
Yeah, absolutely, Simon. I think enough was enough. Look, I think he's been charged. He's been, and now a trial's going to begin. They're in that evidence gathering thing. They're also in the cover your ass mode, as all Washington always is in. Because it's definitely, whether you believe me or you don't believe me, there still was a systematic failure here somewhere, just like in Benghazi. Definitely. Will we ever get the truth about this stuff out? Probably not. Until it's 20 years later and someone writes a book and you interview him on your show, Simon. But, that's the American way. That's the society we live in, you know. A transparent democracy, whether George Bush is president or Barack Obama, doesn't exist. And hasn't for a long time. These intelligence communities, if they F up, they instead of telling the truth and admitting to it, they lie. They lie. And then you wonder why I'm cynical. Where do you want me to start? Benghazi, my favorite, let's talk about the use of or non-use of chemical weapons in Syria. Either they were used or they weren't used, right? And this is our intelligence community, satellites, drones, 500 people in disguise in Syria who are probably from every Western law enforcement military battalion around. And no one can tell us if it was used or not. And what it all comes down to, it probably was used, but the West, Obama's too afraid to get into another war, an Iraq-type war, with boots on the ground. I wish he'd just come out and say that. I don't want to commit troops to the ground, boots on the ground to another Middle Eastern country. I'd applaud him for that. Instead of saying, if chemical weapons are used, it's a game changer. And I'll get back to you on it as we investigate even further. Meanwhile, you see pictures of people foaming at the mouth. And I don't think it's because the mad dog bit them.
Okay. I'm going to change tactics here and change subjects. I know you and John will just rip me to shreds. But, yeah, I kind of enjoy it. That sequester thing, everyone was forced to cut their budgets slightly, and as I understand it, in real terms, it meant that every dollar that you were given, you would only get something like 80 cents. Yeah, it's a 2% cut. It's pretty minuscule. But, of course, it's become a huge issue. Well, let's talk about the FAA. All right? They've been forced to cut some people from, you know, flight control issues. And so long delays have occurred. Now, I find it really interesting that our elected officials have decided to fix the problem. Of course, this was shortly before a 9-day vacation. I mean, who the hell gets a 9-day vacation anyway? Yeah, but, oh no, they're going to fix it so that, you know, their flights aren't delayed. I mean, what's wrong with this? Who wants to pick up on that one?
Well,
Simon, are you saying that it was a mistake to cut 2%? I don't know what you're saying.
What I'm saying is I find it somewhat fishy that suddenly, you know, all of these representatives that, you know, voted for, yes, let's cut the spending, you know, want to go on a 9-day vacation and go, well, hey, this isn't going to work. I don't want to spend 3 hours on the tarmac, you know, waiting for my plane to take off. So let's find a way around it.
Well, Simon, you're not buying into the Obama strategy of these cuts incurred across the board, allegedly, cutting 2% from a trillions of dollar budget. It couldn't have been avoided. I mean, that's the message you wanted sent. I hope you're not falling for it. But I think it's funny. I'll bet you the congressional barbershop and beauty parlor hasn't been cut at all. Maybe if they could start paying for their own haircuts to begin with, but that'll never happen. So all you have to do is look at the places it was cut. Obama wanted to inflict the most pain and damage so people would say, oh, we can't cut anything.
Much
less the largesse.
And then Obama's opposition, if you will, come back with, oh, crap, this is going to affect my travel plans. So, you know, let's make sure the FAA is fully funded. I mean, this is bullshit. This is grade A bullshit.
Well, yeah. I hope you don't fall for it.
Okay, John. I'm not sure you really understand what I'm saying. All right.
Okay, enlighten me.
The kids from D.C., the kids that live in D.C. want to go home for their 9-day vacation, and they know they're going to have, you know, huge delays because of the budget cuts. So, how do you fix it? Oh, you make sure the FAA are fully funded to make these delays go away. Does that make more sense to you?
It does, but I think you can cut without doing this much damage. There's got to be places you can cut in every department. I don't believe you have to fully fund anything in this country. Everything should be cut. It's just, where do you make the cuts? That's what they need to determine.
Alrighty. Sam, sure. You got any thoughts?
Yeah, I think both of you agreed. You just came to a different conclusion about it. John brought up a great point. He said, hey, I bet you the Congressional Barbershop hasn't lost one barber or one barber's chair.
Yeah,
you
can bet on that,
one,
huh?
Okay, I agree with you. Simon's saying the same sort of thing. With that sort of mentality, they took it one step further and said, my plane's not, flight's not getting delayed. Yet we all know the flights are getting delayed anyway because there's the TSA, there's weather, there's all sorts of stuff. So no matter how many people are in the FAA control towers, flights get delayed anyway, even when they're fully staffed, because of the, you know, anybody who's flown out in and out of Chicago will tell you that. I think the situation is, I don't think we've cut deep enough. F from A to Z, I think you have the priority. Not only did you have the politicians wanting to get out of Dodge City and fast, as you pointed out, Simon, I think they probably, the FAA probably had a better lobbyist group, to get that done. But they were able to say, look, we got to put some of these people back on the job, find the funds to do it, wherever they got them from, because the constituents were pissed off. And other things, and that was making life unbearable for them. They couldn't stand a little pressure, them being Congress. And I think you're right about that. I mean, there's no question. I'd like to know who lobbies for the FAA and how much campaign contributions are laid down for the 435 House of Representatives and 100 senators and the Obama administration, you know, to get that done. And that's what you have to look at. They're going to, you know.
I'm in total agreement with you. But let's talk about another issue that the sequester has brought about. Air shows, they've become a victim of cost-cutting. The Blue Angels, the Thunderbirds, the Golden Knights, they're all grounded. Now, I don't have any real hard data on this, but it's reckoned that $1 to $2 billion a year is made in local revenues by air shows. People come, people stay in hotels, people go to restaurants. The Blue Angels, I believe, cost about $9.5 million a year. Yeah, this is false savings. You know, you're saving $9.5 million, but, you know, you're losing $1 to $2 billion for the economy. I mean, where is the sense in this?
Where is the state government supposed to be in the entertainment business? In the Constitution? Someone want to point that out to me?
Okay. All right.
Does someone want to point that out to me? Why did the government have to fund the Blue Angels? If these local shows want to bring in an act, whether it's a musician act, a ball club or whatever, to let them raise the money locally, private funded or whatnot, they can go hire the Blue Angel, pay for themselves if it's that much of a moneymaker, and it's not a moneymaker. You know that, Simon, and I know that. It's
but
bullshit.
Sam, that's part of the military, which should be funded.
It's not. That's entertainment, John. The Blue Angels do not go drop bombs in Afghanistan. They fly around the Cleveland Air Show. They're wonderful.
They're military members, right?
They're military members, and maybe some of them might be retired. I don't know. They're hell of a pilot. I understand that. The Golden Knight parachuters, awesome. I've seen them. Fabulous things. My son's in the Air Force. He's a Raven, and he's Air Security. I know all about these guys, okay? I've gone to the Air Show. They're fabulous. Ours has been canceled. The world isn't going to come to an end. Okay.
Well, Sam, I think you're looking at it wrong. Before you cut the Blue Angels, why don't you cut welfare and benefits to students seeking political asylum in this country?
I agree with you. Both sides have to be cut. Republicans
to build their
have to cut the military.
Cut that, but no, they got to cut the Blue Angels.
The military, that's part of it. That's the easiest piece of the fat to cut. And keep going, baby. You just started. And you're right about
White
you're
House
right about
tours. Everything that the public likes, they'll cut. But the stuff you don't like, you'll never hear about.
They've been doing that for years. Locally, they tell us if you don't pass the levy, they're going to have you're going to have open enrollment. You know, which scares the crap out of everybody.
But I'm saying, Sam, don't fall for it. Why don't they cut welfare to these Tsarnaev brothers and people like them? They won't.
John, we need welfare reform. I agree with you. We need military reform. I agree with you.
First,
everything has to be on the table.
These guys to build bombs and kill us.
I agree. But everything has
okay.
to be reform. Simon,
what about
right.
the Blue Angels? They're not the problem.
They are.
Sam.
We don't need to spend that type of money on them. We don't need it.
Sam. You don't have your ears on. All right, you know, they may cost $9.5 million a year, but if they generate $1 billion or $2 billion in local revenue, they're good for the economy.
I don't believe that number, Simon. Where did you get that number from? There's no effing way the Blue Angels kicked back that. First of all, government's not supposed to be in that business, period. We're not supposed to be providing entertainment with tax dollars. I'm sorry. And we do it way too much. It happened. And then things like this happen, and people go screaming, this is like Chicken Little, the sky's falling because the Blue Angels aren't coming. Well, then if you think the Blue Angels are that much of a profit-making machine, then somebody in America would privatize the Blue Angels, just like the Harlem Globetrotters, and take them all over the world and show them off. They're not a profit-making machine.
All right. Here's the issue. Out of the 300 air shows that were scheduled this year, 60 have backed out. And that means 60 air shows with, you know, average attendance of, you know, between 60 and 80,000 people won't buy tickets. All because Blue Angels, Thunderbirds, or Golden Knights are not going to be there. It's a big hit to local economies.
Hey, Simon, when the steel mills closed in 1978 in the Youngstown, Ohio, it was a huge hit to our local economy. The government didn't bail us out. Okay, I mean, no one bailed us out. It happened. You have to deal with it from yourself and reinvent yourself. If your local economy is dependent on an air show, help your local economy.
Oh,
take your money, go to a baseball game.
Come on, Sam.
Wait a minute, 200 shows? How many shows were cut? 60? So there's 140 of them. Go to one of those shows if you want to see them. And are there other things other than...
No, you won't see them at the 140 remaining. Right?
What will be there?
Civilian stuff.
Are the civilians any good?
Yeah.
Time before the Blue
it.
Angels, there used to be daredevils that weren't might have been ex-military pilots, but they weren't on the active military roster. They used to be cone flying and all sorts of stuff. I've seen World War II replica planes do dogfights that were all retired, hobby enthusiasts and whatnot. So there is entertainment going on. It just won't be that of active duty military personnel flying the planes.
Hey, Sam, let's say it's revenue neutral or close. What about being a source of national pride, readiness for our pilots, and also inspiring kids to become pilots and maybe join the military?
Well, you can't. There's no money anymore.
I'm just saying, what about, like, appeal to something like that? Not all of it's about money, is it?
You're talking about, so if someone goes, that it's good for morale, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, good for morale, encourages kids, gives them a warm feeling about the country and the military.
A warm feeling?
Some to become pilots or engineers.
I'd rather let them watch Zero Dark Thirty and get a warm, fuzzy feeling to join the CIA and waterboard people. That'd be more fun, John. It's a lot cheaper, too.
Okay. All right. John, I never thought I'd say this. You have just come to my help. All right.
I'm just getting mean and cynical in my old age.
Well, Sam's making it easy.
Right.
It's like someone pissed in his cereal today.
Well, you guys came to the show wearing blinders on. I mean, come on. I mean, you're talking about
I'm reminded
John. Wait a minute, John.
Today.
I wish my man Manny was here. You're all for cutting welfare from people, but God forbid those Blue Angels got to go. We've got to beat the drum for patriotic nationalism.
Yeah, the Blue Angels are a source of pride and inspiration to the country.
So, you know, so are the 1967 Boston Red Sox. I mean, so is the movie.
Sam,
so is the John Wayne. So
now.
Is the John Wayne movie. So is, you know, anything. You know, I just don't think if that's
Sam, it's really different.
John, with $16 trillion in debt, if cutting the Blue Angels is going to help break this country back on its feet again so it can take care of itself, I'm all for it, along with welfare reform. We don't need the Blue Angels.
I disagree. Okay? We do need the Blue Angels. God bless those guys.
I have seen
I want the 82nd. I want the 82nd Airborne, but I don't want the Blue Angels.
Hey, Sam, I'm reminded of the admonition with you. Darkness doesn't exist, only those who won't see.
I want to go back to the warm and fuzzy feeling that kids get from watching the Blue Angels. I really think they get more of a warm and fuzzy feeling from another
thing. Deprive them of that.
I don't think, like I said, government's not in the entertainment business. Unfortunately, it is and has been for the last 50 years, and no one will wean themselves off it. You're the first one to take the butcher knife out, the butcher welfare state. Well, guess what, John? The Blue Angels is a form of corporate welfare. Okay?
Oh, and Simon even said they generate revenue.
I don't believe that.
They are popular, and a lot of people will pay to see them. Not to mention it helps the local economy with the restaurants and everything else.
Well, then, but by all means, let's nationalize everything then. By all means, because then we're going to every community should have a show. Every community should have an air show funded by the government. Every community should have can put assets in the seats at restaurant. Everyone's got to buy a ticket. That means the government should then buy baseball teams, football teams, put them in every city, subsidize the team because it's good for the local economy. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. But it has been going that way because the governments have been subsidizing stadiums and whatnot. And it's all bullshit.
I'm opposed to that because the owners are the ones who make the money. And it doesn't.
That's right. And who makes the money at the air shows?
The local community.
And who makes the money at the air shows? The local, not
the
Blue Angels.
The local community.
Yeah.
Well, the local community makes money with a baseball stadium.
Well, you know, they've been losing money.
Oh, not the owners aren't, because they can pay these stadiums.
I said the owners have to pay for the money.
There's
totally different.
It's government subsidized. It's government subsidized entertainment. Any way you look at it. Whether it's a baseball stadium or an
air show.
They're
signing over those stadiums to the owners. They get
well,
all
who are the owners?
Wait
a minute. You're going to tell me, you guys just told me, you both do stereo abuse on me, that the Blue Angels at these air shows are a revenue enhancement for the local economy. That
who's
means someone's
that money?
Making
the
money.
Pilots? The government?
I'm the pilot. I don't know. Who is? You tell me. Who's ever sponsored the air show, correct? Someone's making a profit, according to Simon and you. Who is it?
The local economy.
The local economy makes it, but somebody runs that show. There's a P.T. Barnum running that air show, and where we're at. Am I right?
Incorrect.
Who's running
it? I don't know how many times I've seen the Blue Angels. I used to live in San Diego. And Miramar was the home of the Top Gun program, and every year that there'd be a huge, huge, you know, air show, and Blue Angels were always part of it. And San Diego, yeah, it's a popular spot anyway. But for the Miramar Air Show, it was slammed. You know, hotels were completely booked up. Restaurants were busy. And, yeah, it cost the Air Force, you know, a little bit of money to put the show on. But the local economy won, all right? Lots of money being spent. Yeah.
Who, when you bought a ticket, who profited from the ticket? You
had to
buy a ticket to get into the air show, right?
It was free entry.
Free to enter the air show. There were no tickets.
Correct.
You had to pay a ticket to go into it. Okay.
Yep.
So there's your national pride answer, John. When the show is for free, that attracts a lot of people to look up in the sky and say, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's national pride flying by me. So I want to be one of that. So that's good, right?
Well, that's good for kids, Sam.
But there also are, but Simon, there also are air shows, like the Cleveland Air Show, which is a big one too, where you have to pay for a ticket. Now, I don't know, someone's profiting from that ticket, and I don't think it's the Air Force. Okay? The promoter. Someone's promoting this event and making boohoo amounts of money. So, that's it. And that without these Blue Angels, they're going to have to. It's like a concert. You know, your main act canceled. You either got to find a new act or a replacement act, or show's canceled. I'm sure most of these air shows, and you said a third of them have dropped out. Two thirds of them are going on because they feel that they have enough acts that they'll still do okay. Is that correct? Did I read you right on that?
Yes and no.
Okay.
All right. If you put on an air show, you don't have to buy a ticket. You know, you can just hang out outside the gates, shall we say. You're still going to see the air show. It's not about the ticket price, if they have one. It's much more about what it does for the local economy. And you know, if you don't have the program, you know, you're not going to have the people turning up. So, you know, the hotels lose. The restaurants lose, the bars lose, everyone loses. And, you know, when you look at the numbers, it's better to have it than not have it. And, you know, Blue Angels, yeah, I mean, they're great. I mean, they put on a fabulous program.
Not saying that they don't. Not saying that the men and women who fly those planes aren't talented. I'm not saying that the men and women who keep those planes in the air aren't talented. But what I'm trying to say is we're $16 trillion in debt, and it's time that this country stops relying on the government for free air shows, you know, with the Blue Angels and free Obama phones, whatever you want to call. There's too much of a weight. Now, when everything's said and done, and we have a balanced budget, and things are going good, and we're not in wars all over the place, and we're not the policemen of the world, and roads are being repaired, and bridges aren't collapsing, and people are being fed, and not people on welfare, and food stamp, and incredible amounts of things, then I have no problem with the priority of spending money to maybe have the Blue Angels or promote them. But we can't afford it right now, obviously, and everything's getting cut. Thank God. The dominoes are starting to fall. Unfortunately, all the as John correctly points out, and I'm sorry to have to agree with you today, John, the first thing they do is cut. They want to make you feel pain.
Yep.
So people go, oh my God, they're cutting the Blue Angels. Oh my God, my flights are going to be delayed. Oh my God, I'm not going to have whatever, fill in the blank. And then people roll over and play dead, and the politicians just laugh all the way as they're cutting us again. So we need to make these cuts.
John,
that's the bigger picture.
John, I have to hand the microphone over to you.
I understand what Sam's saying, but I think he's losing perspective on this. It's not an either or. You can fund entertainment, as he calls it, but it also has to do with military readiness. I mean, there's a lot of wins by funding programs like this, and I think it could be money well spent. I don't think all the government does is bad. I'm sure Sam doesn't either. It just seems like about 95% of it. But if you say the programs like the Blue Angels have to be cut, to me it's absurd when Congress hasn't cut their budget at all, and we're still paying for their haircuts. It just sickens me. And we even have to discuss about cutting the Blue Angels. That means we're playing into their strategy.
Well, okay. If you want to make budget cuts, why not
close down the free cafeteria.
Right. That's my point. And let me tell you how these furloughs work, Simon, because I worked in a bureaucracy. I don't know if you guys have, but let's say signing up for vacation, which goes on seniority. You're at a police station. Only a certain amount of people can be off work. So a lot of people like to sign up for vacation, say, at Christmas time or during the summer. But everyone can't be off because you got to field cars and patrol the streets. Now, if you were going to make it hurt, like I think Obama wants to do, and also you can fill in from other stations, bring people in from other units and fill in if you're down some, like guys are injured or calling in sick. But conversely, you can also say, all right, say you've got 100 people at a airport. You can say, all right, now 50 of you guys are going to take off next week. Make them take off all at the same time. And I would really like to see their books and see if they've done that, because it's all about juggling numbers. Instead of 10 people taking off, they can order like 20, 30, 40, as many as they want, and then say, oh, we don't have the people. No shit, because everyone had to take the day off. And that's the kind of things they do. And I've seen it.
Okay, so how do we fix the problem?
Well, I think if people like me and Sam were in power, it would be like Texas Chainsaw. So I don't know, but I was thinking, like, you were asking me how do we deal with this bomber Tsarnaev. I would say instead of Mirandizing him, I would liquidate with extreme prejudice, and I would do the same with all these bureaucrats who, I'm not even saying it's their fault. They're entrenched. They've been in there for years, but the only way you can do it, Simon, is term limits. Because people might go into office with the noblest intentions, but they become corrupted when they go to Washington. Everyone tells them what a great person they are, what a genius they are. Can you come have dinner with me? They never have to pay for anything. And they get used to going through life on scholarship. You got to have term limits regardless of the party. That's the only way, and not allow people to get corrupted. Because once they see they have this access to power, we're all vain people. And some are more susceptible than others. So think about it.
I'm not
saying they're bad people, because all of us could succumb to the temptation. We're not in that position, but it would be hard to say no. And I will say this. I think somebody that Sam admires, Rand Paul, is definitely a person who can say no to the temptation. We need more people like him, but I think the only solution is term limits.
I really like the idea of term limits. I don't understand why we really don't have them.
Why do you think? Because the people in power are never going to pass that law.
Right. Yeah. You know, there is a term limit on the president. Yeah, he can do it twice. And yeah.
But that's one guy. We got 535 who we don't.
Right. I mean, and Sam, would you be an advocate of term limits for...
I think the president should only have 1 6-year term and not never run again. I think, yes, for term limits, big time. Also, once you've been term limited out, you cannot become a paid lobbyist for at least 10 years after that. The lobbyists have to be neutered, deballed, declawed. Citizens United has to be overturned. The Supreme Court should have 3 more judges on it. I go on and on and on. We have to go back. You know, we have for a country of 300 million is being held hostage by about 150,000 people, and it's disgusting. And we see what we've got. No one can say no. I echo what John said. They can't say no. And I'm going to tell you, and it's even worse. It's at the federal level. Every state government's the same way. Every county government's the same way. Even your local, even my local trustees, 3 of them, are all think that John said. They think the shit don't stink. People kiss their ass. They buy them lunches. They buy them dinners. They get free tickets to the ball game. People, you know, and they're nobodies. a bunch of people, you know, but they got elected to office because of their last name, the political party affiliation. They vote, you know, they have friends in high places. They do their bidding for them, and it's disgusting. And it's gonna the pension, the chickens are gonna come home to roost because we run out of money. And no matter how much they print it, no matter how much Wall Street stays in bed with the Fed and does all this stuff, the game's over pretty soon. It's going to be game, set, match, and it's going to be bad news. It's going to be bad news. And that's it. And unfortunately, John, you're right. It goes, how about you serve one term? You got a pension for life, health care for life.
They shouldn't even have pensions for politicians.
Right, it's incredible. It should serve for nothing. We need to go back to a constitutional democracy the way it was set up.
You said we should have more Supreme Court justices?
Sure. That way, you wouldn't have these 5-4, and everyone would worry about the swing vote. That's what we have now,
9.
Yeah, 9, but that's the problem. And everyone's worried that there's always one who's the swing vote.
Yeah.
So he or she sells out for more money. You know, I mean, whatever it is. It's ridiculous.
Okay. Got to interrupt and ask the question. The Supremes, it's a situation that I really like. Right? They're, anointed. Yeah, they're there for life. Should that be the way that it works? Wouldn't it be better if we the people, you know, selected a Supreme Court justice and that they had a limited term, you know, much like we do with the president?
No, Simon, because then they'd be pandering for votes, which is what you don't want. You want them to adhere to the Constitution, not pandering for votes. Why would you want that?
Well, you know, the problem is
accountability. The judge screws up, you vote him out of office. John Roberts, I would like to vote out of office because he's held up upheld Obamacare, John. But I can't. He could serve there for another 30 years.
Would the judge be beholden to the Constitution or
the judges? Most states are democratically elected judges. So what's the big difference doing it at the Supreme Court level?
I would not want judges out campaigning like common politicians.
John, we did not elect our senators and representatives. They were all made in backroom deals. Look what we got out of it.
You're talking about applying the Constitution, and I don't want judges in
general. My problem is we need to have more Supreme Court judges and more people now to represent us because the country's 300 million people, and we have 535 people, throwing a couple of judges, or this or that. The powers is entrenched in too small of amounts of people's hands.
Why do you even have a judicial branch if it's just going to be up for election? You already have the executive and the legislature.
Well, you need to have a judicial branch. I understand
If they're just going to be pandering to the public.
You think about it. 9 people decide what the law of the land is for 300 million.
That's our system of checks and balances.
I'm not debating that it's not a good system, but there should have been elastic to increase the size of it. Term limit should have been in. But, of course, our founding fathers did not see that this was going to happen. But now we have the power of we're so big, and we are a huge country, a lot of space, a lot of money, a lot of things, a lot of talent, lots of this and that. But think how easy it is for the lobbyists, and don't tell me that the Supreme Court justices are not lobbied, because they are, lobbied to control the power of it's a power of a few. I mean, think about it, John. There's 535 people in Washington, without the lobbyists, are making laws for 300 million people, and they're not accountable to anybody. If you put it to them,
lobbying,
they're not even.
And you want them to raise money to run for office? That's going to work out real good.
I want them all to. No, public financing. Get rid of Citizen United. Public financing, increase the size, get rid of the political parties. We're talking about term limits. We have to keep taking it one step further. We have to.
Hey, Sam, how close to Chicago are you?
How close to Chicago am I? I'm close. You don't want public financing? Then you'd have normal people run for office. How much does it cost to run for office?
Chicago judges.
How much of the I think federal judges should be. They have to serve till they're 90 years old. They're senile. Come on. My favorite is when they retire and then they get to go back and ride the circuit judges. They never retire. They never get out of office. They're always called back in to do stuff. They're always to do everything. It's a joke. It's a joke.
You don't think if judges are forced to face
the law,
orders, they're susceptible to corruption?
I think anybody who's subject to government in today's modern society, whether they're appointed or they're elected, is an easy target for corruption because you said it yourself, John, it's too difficult to say no.
Mm-hmm.
The way the system works right now, and there is no check and balance on that corruption. We know that.
Well, Sam, it's tough to argue with you when you use my own words against me.
You've been listening.
Quote the person so he can't argue with you. I do that with Simon all the time.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I learned from you.
Okay, so there obviously is no easy solution here.
There is term limits.
It's not just term limits. That's a good one. That's a good start. That's a good start. It's sort of like what do you call 1,000 lawyers lying at the bottom of the ocean, John?
Good start.
Ooh, right. Ooh. term limits are a great idea. I think, listen, more political parties would be a good solution, too.
John, how would you overhaul the system? Yeah, obviously there's a problem. And, you may not agree with everything that Sam and I say, but, how would you fix it?
Overhaul the system?
Yeah.
Simon, I can't even overhaul my own house. I've tried it and ended up in divorce court. That reminds me of the saying, a man may be a fool and not know it, but not if he's married. And since I'm married, I know I'm a fool, so I won't even begin to answer that question. But I would be very entertained to hear Sam.
In my opinion, I think John just ducked a question.
I did. I can't even overhaul my own house. I'm going to overhaul the system. I know my limitations, Simon.
you can't knock it for honesty, Simon.
I can barely make out a schedule a week ahead of time for my employees.
So, Sam, I guess I'm going to bounce this on to you.
I, like John, I know my limitations, but I'd be willing to try. Make me emperor of the United States, and that's what the starting point is. And then I will start having the best and the brightest at my side to decide what stays, what goes, and what's never coming back. Because that's really what you're going to need. You're going to need a benevolent dictator to change the system. Because there's no way, John, sorry to throw your words at you again. Why would the people in office today want to let you change the system and take away their goodies? Because, boy, their goodies are really good. And they don't want to know what we all have. And, again, I go back to that great line from A Few Good Men with Jack Nicholson, we can't handle the truth. Because that's what people have to find out how bad it has been, how bad our institutions have been to us, individuals in those institutions, both Republicans and Democrats, how they've just taken advantage of it. And that's the start. starting point. I mean, that's one of many starting points, term limits you threw out. How do you stop these lobbyists from spending buying and selling politicians like NASCAR races, find sponsors on the cars? It's never ending. My favorite are the politicians who get thrown out of office for whatever reason, and they bounce back as a high paid lobbyist. They know the system better than heck. It really has to be the R word, and reform. And I don't think the American people are ready for it until it hits rock bottom. Because one of the things both our parties do very, very well is to scare the crap out of the American people, so the American people will give more power to the government. And right now the power is the purse string, the money. But as we've seen in the Bush administration, and has seen surprisingly on the Obama administration, is on steroids when it comes to attacking personal liberties.
Hey, Sam, let me ask you, would me and Simon get cabinet positions or become a czar?
Simon would be in charge of air shows and from around the country.
That's a good one.
But he would be in charge of that.
Which wouldn't exist anymore under your regime.
You would be in charge of food tasting for me. I would not eat any, therefore I would not eat any Snickers bars and keep a tight stomach, you know. But all that stuff aside, I just think it's a loaded question, Simon. And smarter men than me, way smarter men and women than me, have answered it. I think the answers are there. I don't think that the American people has the backbone, the guts, the willpower to put these gears in motion, as they say, to make it happen. I think with the majority of the people are blissfully ignorant, and the status quo goes way out of its way to do that. And it's going to take a catastrophe to change it. And we all know a catastrophe can change America. I mean, just look at what happened in Boston. I mean, a whole giant city shut down. So, you know, on a 19-year-old terrorist hiding in a boat.
They succeeded, yeah.
Yeah, and they succeeded. So, I mean, we all know that, things can change for the good and the bad. And I hope that they do. You know, I really hope that they do. I'm not right about everything. Hell, I'd be an idiot to admit that. I'm not arrogant. I'm not this or that. But I realize that change has to start to take place. And what the change I see taking place scares me. I see people more willing to give up freedoms because they think they're going to be more secure. And the security is a government that wants to control them. Not secure them, but control them.
Right.
That scares me.
Yeah, this sounds a lot like George Orwell in 1984.
Well, yeah, I mean, do you want to care? I mean, I've seen the big cry. I don't know if you've watched MSNBC, CNN, and Fox and the other ones in regard to the Boston bombings. Not focused on the crazy family and some of the victims. They talked about how do we stop this? You know, and they have all these alleged experts come on. And the one common denominator I've heard and read about online has been a need for more high surveillance cameras everywhere. And that's a scary thing, Simon.
Oh, I'm with you on that.
But, Sam, that wouldn't have prevented anything.
Correct.
But that just would help solve it quicker. But unless it has X-ray vision, you wouldn't know there was a bomb in that backpack.
That could be the next thing. I agree.
Hey, that's not going to prevent anything.
Cameras in people's homes to watch what you're doing.
Well,
drones overhead. I don't know,
John. Evidence.
If someone would have told me 20 years ago they'd be putting cameras up to stop you from going to a red light, I would have laughed at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's happened, hasn't it? The technology is here. The technology is here to control, with the intent to control us.
Oh, but I'm saying for people who don't want to get caught, the common criminal, yeah, it's going to work. But for people suicidal, bent on destruction, it won't matter.
Well, that there's always going to be exceptions to the rule, no matter.
You know what I'm saying? It won't prevent a terrorist attack. It might prevent common.
It might. It might prevent, but it might prevent some. We would never know about that. For some strange, bizarre reason, we never find out about. And I'm sure law enforcement and military personnel do prevent terror attacks.
But it won't prevent someone from parking a truck in a crowded area.
You're right. I hope it does. But you're right, John. I mean, I can't. If someone's hell bent on destroying themselves and others, they don't need guns to do that, do they?
No, you can do it any number of ways.
You can do it with a pressure cooker bomb.
I never knew
pressure cooker bombs. You can make a bomb out of a pressure cooker. You know.
Well, I sort of did, but. But that was an accident that my first wife got into. I'm friends with the guy that owns the local gas station and little convenience store. He has 8 cameras, a couple outside and 6 inside. Something bad happens, he can review the tape. The most surveilled city in the world is London. I believe there's a camera for every 14 people. This really is sounding like 1984. I don't like it. Yeah, I understand why people walk around with hoodies and have their faces covered, and wear sunglasses. Is this really where we want to take ourselves? I'd love to get your comments. Jump in.
I don't have a problem with it, Simon, if it's a deterrent for the store owner. It's his private property. And the public venue, I'm a little more concerned like Sam. But if you want to put it on your own property, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
All right. How about the... the Fed's putting cameras up.
I'm very suspicious there and skeptical, especially if I've heard they might start using drones to fly over cities. Like Sam said, are we going to trade security for our freedom? I hope not, but that might be the direction we're going.
Yeah, and Sam, your comments.
I, for the first time in my life, had to put cameras in my bar. It scared the crap out of me, but I had to do it. But I'm private property.
Right.
I'm also not spying on people. It's there for that. And being used the correct way on private property or your own home, and that's our decision as business owners or homeowners. I don't have a problem with. But as we just talked about, and I think all 3 of us are in agreement for once, the federal government putting them with any government, and then with drones overhead to coordinate it or whatever it is and feed that into a database and people can spy, and then who knows what, manipulate, if you can edit and splice and dice, as we all know, and edit
right.
Voiceovers and whatnot, they could, do some dangerous things in the wrong people's hands. Or overzealous law enforcement officials, which we know exist. So, and I do not want to see. I do not want to live in a country where the government has been able to get the citizens to say less freedoms, but you're more secure because you really aren't more secure. Because John's 100% right. No matter what they do, someone hell bent on destroying someone or something or somewhere. We'll be able to do it if that's what their desire is.
Okay, folks, we're just about fresh out of time. So I want to go round the table really quickly. John, your parting thoughts.
All right, Simon, I'll make this as quick as I can. Good to be back with you. I read something the other day that I thought might be insightful to your listeners. Do I got a minute?
Sure.
All right. for those who don't know, the seven deadly sins are anger, envy, gluttony, greed, lust, pride, and sloth. Well, I want you guys to guess who said these were his seven deadly sins. It was really enlightening for me, and I give the guy a lot of credit. All right, here they are. Wealth without work, pleasure without conscience, science without humanity, knowledge without character, politics without principle, commerce without morality, worship without sacrifice. Can you guys guess who said that? Because I think they're applicable today.
I couldn't guess.
Sam?
Gandhi?
Good job, yeah. Well, that's really impressive, Sam.
Who?
Gandhi.
Gandhi said that? That was just a pure guess.
Yeah, good job. He said it.
I'm going out to play. I'm going out to play a lottery ticket.
I owe you dinner.
I the time something like you would say, he was a terrific man.
Yeah.
Wow, made my day. and that was not scripted, everybody.
I take back everything I said about you.
Well, thanks.
And Sam, your parting thoughts.
John, always a pleasure to disagree with you. Simon, always a pleasure to disagree with you and to agree with both of you. John, it's great to have you back. Simon, I'm going to be in Nashville next weekend for a wedding, but I may just come down and surprise you and Jan and take some snapshots of you guys partying in Biscayne. How do you pronounce your town?
I can't wait.
I just may come down. I may turn left in Nashville and head down your way and appear on the show with you someday.
Picayune's kind of fun. it's not. I live here.
Hey, Simon, I hope the drones don't follow them.
There you go. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for taking part in the program today. It was a delightful discussion, as always. And I'm sure we'll be picking this up again sometime soon. Yeah. Until then, it's goodbye from me. Have a great week.